You know, for better or worse, money and the wealth it creates is one of the main motivators of our lives. Not always for the good, you know. Imagine two neighbors living side by side. One has a brand new house with the latest gadgets, plenty of food on the table, time to enjoy life with family and friends. And this family has a fancy yacht, a private plane, and can afford the finest private education and medical care that money can offer. Take exotic vacations on the whim and wear the latest in the fashions. Now consider the other neighbor who rents a small rundown home, worries about paying rent or putting food on the table, and is one disaster away from homelessness. Doctor visits are skipped because there's no money, no insurance. Thrift stores and food pantries are common sights. Welcome to the life of 38 million Americans in 2025. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I read even a statistic that there are 200 million Americans who have savings of $1,000 or even less. This difference is like the growing wealth gap we have. The richest 10% controls 70% of the wealth. And this isn't just about having nice houses or fancy things. It affects everything. People with less often have fewer opportunities for good education and healthcare and safe neighborhoods. It can be hard then to break out of that cycle of poverty, no matter how hard they work. Our gospel lesson is a stark reminder of the dangers of unbridled wealth, wealth without a moral compass to guide it. Wealth fueled by greed, which Paul tells us is a form of idolatry, blind to the needs of the surrounding community. So Jesus today tells us of a parable about the dangers of accumulating riches. But at first he is approached by someone who asks him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, this man is making an ordinary request of a rabbi who often intervene in family disputes, even of this nature. It's not spiritual or religious, but still, the Hebrew scriptures refer to inheritance over 200 times, and situations could get pretty complex. Right and just order was paramount. Even in fairly straightforward inheritance situations, things can get messy quickly. And as we all know, family relationships can turn sour or divisive over money. We probably all know of or heard of a situation where an inheritance created a family rift, right? Even one of Jesus' most famous parables of the prodigal son is about inheritance and how they can drive family members apart. Yet Jesus is reluctant to be the judge in this case. Instead of addressing it head on, he takes a different tack with this man. Jesus wants to address the underlying problem that drives all cases like this: greed. We need to be on our guard against greed, however it crops up in an inheritance situation or simply in the abundance of possessions we can accumulate in our lifetimes. So Jesus tells this story about a fellow who became rich because his crops produced abundantly. What a lucky man. His lands are fruitful, and it's really clear that he has done little personally in this. The crops are a gift. He's so rich, he thinks he has to build bigger barns to hold the excess grain and goods. Isn't he exactly the kind of guy we're supposed to admire? He's successful and able to upgrade to one of those new mini mansions or a fancier ultra SUV car, designer suits and luxury vacations, all the trappings of a good life, right? Isn't this what we're taught is a goal, to fall somewhere within that material success spectrum so we too can just relax, eat, drink, and be merry? Yet this individual who is so admired, perhaps to a degree by even us, is called a fool by God. You fool, God says. This very night your life will be required of you. The fool in the Bible stands for a person who either doesn't believe in God or doesn't or chooses not to follow God's ways. The implication here is that life is a loan to us from God. And now that loan is fallen due. Life is not for us to squander, but for us to engage, to find and follow God's will. The rich fool sees life instead like a commodity, something that is a means to an end. But God says, no, life is a gift greater and grander than the life of consumerism. There is a meaning in the loan, and it is not just for our benefit alone. The absence of family and friends in this rich fool's life is striking. Whose life has this rich fool prepared and made better from all this work? No one. When at last he has built his bigger barn, which he hopes to last him many years, he does not envision a better future for anyone but himself. He has not used his excess grains to feed the hungry or his goods to help the needy. God asks the rich fool that piercing question, these things you have prepared, whose will they be? Prepare, if we think of that word, is found in the context of the Last Supper and the care of Jesus's body after his death. Prepare in these settings, talk about preparing, is just not a mindless act, but an act done with profound intention and purpose. This rich fool's focus on the accumulation of wealth, that was the ultimate purpose of his life. Our lives, loaned to us, are meant for activity that is redemptive and other-focused. In a very real sense, what we do with our lives not only prepares our souls for our eternal destiny, but prepares others for their journeys as well. How we live matters to God because we participate with God in the redemptive work in the world. That's the reason for the loan. Unlike the rich fool, I remember a 90-year-old former congregant who barely had two proverbial two coins to rub together. I remember every week she faithfully donated little $2 in her envelope and put that in the plate. And in her life, she did lots of things. She created a neighborhood watch group that provided loans and grants for home improvement to families of modest incomes. She always found time to help homebound people to get their shopping done. She made and delivered care packages to disabled veterans. She could not pass by a wounded animal. She had to take that creature to the veterinarian and pay the expenses out of her own limited means. She was not rich in any way, stretch of the words, like the rich fool in our parable, but she was rich in how Jesus calls us to be rich, to store up treasure in heaven. So our gospel lesson asks us, how are the treasures in heaven, your treasures in heaven, coming along? What and who is inspiring you to store up treasures in heaven? The Bible teaches us ultimately to care for those in need. And Proverbs tells us that the rich and poor have one thing in common, that the Lord is the maker of them all. So we are all equal in God's eyes, rich or poor. So when we see huge gaps between rich and poor, it is a call. This is a call for us to have compassion, to help each other, and to work toward fairness. So that's our goal. And isn't that what it all boils down to? To use whatever resources we have been given to prepare the way for others so their lives can be better. That would make such a grand story to tell, wouldn't it? Because remember, our lives are truly a loan to us. And the things we have prepared, we are asked today, whose will they be? That's the inheritance we have to think that is worth sharing. Amen.